Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the RBC podcast. Many listeners might have heard of Médecins Sans Frontières, or Doctors Without Borders, an international non-governmental organization providing development and humanitarian aid to developing countries. A similar organization also exists in the veterinary field, focusing their work predominantly on veterinary topics. Nick Short, head of the electronic media unit at the Royal Veterinary College, is one of the co-founders of the UK section of Veterinaires Sans Frontières, the not-for-profit organisation VetAid. He will join us today to tell us more about how VetAid, now chaired by the RBC's Professor Declan McKeever, is helping to improve the life of people and animals in Africa. Thank you, Nick, for joining us here today. You have been one of the founders of VetAid, which seems to be one of the subsidiaries of Veterinaires Sans Frontières in the United Kingdom. Can you tell us what this organisation does and how it has evolved over the last couple of years?
Yes, thanks, Matthias, for inviting me here. And VetAid, where do we start from? About 20 years ago, I was studying in Edinburgh. There used to be a postgraduate degree there in tropical animal health. Those are the days when quite a few vets used to go out to Africa, British vets, and work there, because there's actually quite a shortage on the continent. And so I was studying with a number of colleagues, a French vet called Eric Ferron and a British vet called Graham Thirlwell. And we were all kind of a little bit frustrated because we wanted to go and work in Africa as well, but perhaps didn't have the experience that was required to get a position. And this is something that many people will tell you now, that is an issue, trying to find a way to get out and work in Africa. Many people kind of want to work there, but it's hard to get a position. So we set up VetAid based upon a model which came out of France. Veterinaires Sans Frontières was actually a spin-off from Médecins Sans Frontières. So three vets in France started this up in Lyon, and we kind of visited them about a year after they'd started in 87, and they gave us some ideas how to get going. And it grew from there, and the whole concept really was about working at a grassroots level in Africa, with providing veterinary care for animals, and it's grown ever since. And I think when we started, there was only really VSF France and VetAid, and certainly while I was originally involved with this in the first couple of years, we went on to see a Spanish and a Dutch group, and now I think there's about 8 or 10. I mean, it's quite incredible. Throughout Europe, different organizations spawned from this original concept.
VetAid seems to focus a lot on trying to educate local people in Africa on how to make the best use of the livestock they have. How important is livestock in Africa to provide for the people there, and what are the problems that people are facing in raising livestock under those conditions?
Certainly from my experience, livestock are really fundamental to people's livelihood. In most parts of Africa, you'll find that the majority of people live in the rural areas, and a major part of their livelihoods is actually about keeping cattle, sheep, goats, chickens, pigs. And those animals are, first of all, of course, a source of protein, source of milk, source of hide, source of dung, source of transport. But they've also got a very big social significance. They're kind of a bit like a bank account for many farmers, and they're also kind of quite, they're part of people's families. They're incredibly important. And I remember in 93 I was in Botswana, working in Botswana. We had an outbreak there of CBPP, or contagious bovine pleuropneumonia, and essentially wiped out all 300,000 cattle. And these were very small traditional farmers with maybe 4 or 5 cows. And those cows, they'd reared for generations. They knew every animal very well. They were like a family member. And to have those animals taken away, killed, was a huge, huge blow. So the concept of VetAid really was to work with these small farmers, not the big farms and the kind of commercial estates and so on, but smaller farmers, and looking at ways that we could actually support those farmers in increasing their productivity, and also perhaps providing them a bit more stability or security by making sure their animals didn't die.
So that was one of the major reason aims that you had with VetAid, is trying to help the people to actually keep those animals they had alive for longer than they were usually able to do so, right?
Yes, exactly. I mean, the problem you'll find in many countries, I mean, for example, in Mozambique, which is the first country we started working in Africa, that there were a number of vets, about 20 vets in the whole of Mozambique at that time. This was back in 89. And almost every one of those vets was based in Maputo, in the capital. Mm-hmm. And obviously the problems were out in the countryside, and those vets never got out of the country. So there's a kind of major gap between the kind of expertise, veterinary expertise, sitting in the university or the vets school in Maputo, and the actual need out in the countryside. So our philosophy really was to try and act as a bridge between those two and develop what we call community animal health workers, or barefoot vets essentially, who could take some of the knowledge from, say, the research institutes in Maputo and actually turn that into kind of practical support for farmers in the field. And just to give you one example, we were working with chickens and Newcastle disease. And anybody who's been to Africa will know that Newcastle disease is a killer. It sweeps through chicken flocks regularly, every 6 months to a year, killing most of the susceptible chickens. And so you can see a 90% die-off. And then over the next year, the chickens kind of multiply, kind of get back to a normal number, and then you get another sweep through of this disease.
It must be rather frustrating for the farmers.
It's terrible. I don't know why anybody bothers keeping chickens in those contexts. But there's a simple vaccine. And it's a brilliant vaccine, and there was a vaccine in Maputo, and it wasn't getting out in the countryside. The only problem was it needed to be kept cool or kept cold.
Which is not easy under African circumstances.
No, but there are ways around it. So, for example, we worked with the medical authorities and actually shared cold chain facilities with them. We also developed, in conjunction with the university in Maputo and in South Africa, a fairly heat-stable vaccine, which was called the V4 vaccine, which didn't need to be kept in refrigeration. It was quite an effective vaccine. So there are ways around it. And actually, to this day, VetAid's now been working in Mozambique for almost 20 years, and the work we've done with Newcastle disease is probably some of the most significant, I think.
So I guess the work there involves not only educating people, but also getting them to be creative or being creative yourself under the circumstances you work under in Africa.
Yes, very much so. And I think it's about empowering local people. And one of the things that VetAid's always had a strong opinion on is not actually sending out lots of British vets to go and work in Africa. Mm. That was the old model, the colonial model. And I think these days we're looking to much more of a kind of modern view, which is actually about training up local staff. And this isn't training vets, because obviously you can't have enough vets in places like Mozambique or Botswana. So it's more about training paravets and enabling them to be the go-between and actually encouraging them to kind of carry on. So looking at sustainable models, which don't require somebody like VetAid to endlessly fund them, but actually start to work themselves without us being there.
So, for example, on projects like the Newcastle Disease Project you were talking about, you're not providing the vaccine, actually, but you're actually providing the people there with ways of managing the vaccination based on the experience you have under those climates, under those circumstances in Africa.
That's certainly the intention. I have to say it's a slow process. Mm-hmm. And you have to understand these people are working in enormously difficult circumstances. And so there is a need for support, ongoing support, which either comes from the government or from non-governmental organisations like VetAid. And it's going to be very hard to wean people off entirely from that support, because they're just so poor, and the harsh conditions that they have to live in make it extremely difficult for them to survive without that sort of assistance. But that said, I think one doesn't want to create a kind of condition of dependency, a culture of dependency. And VetAid has been very keen to actually, as I say, to strengthen local communities, local infrastructures, to reduce their dependency on us.
If someone would be interested in trying to get involved with the work of VetAid in order to help people in Africa develop independence in the way they live with animals, are there any ways of getting involved?
There are a number of ways. I mean, it's always been, in a way, it's gratifying that so many vets in Britain have been supporting VetAid for so long. But the kind of spin-off from that is a lot of people actually want to go out and visit the projects. And obviously, we don't want vast numbers of British vets descending on a small project in Tanzania and taking over, because it could be a little bit daunting, to say the least. That said, I mean, they would be well received, I can guarantee them that. But we don't want to see that sort of situation arising. So we're actually looking at kind of slightly more sensitive models. I mean, the first thing, of course, and it's the one that all agencies say, but it's very true, is the biggest changes occur at home. So if we have support in the UK, not just financial support, but in other ways as well, that makes a big difference for VetAid. It really does help. But out in the countries we work in, we do have a new scheme now, which I'm very keen on, which is around giving vet students a chance to go and visit some of the projects. Mm-hmm. And this year, I think seven vet students from the different vet schools, I think several from the RVC, went out to visit some of the projects in Tanzania and just see for themselves what VetAid is doing. And I think probably they learned that they saw a lot of the problems as well as the solutions. And I think it's probably opened their eyes, or I hope it has anyway, to the kind of issues that we're facing in Africa. And we've also had opportunities to send vets out on, for example, fundraising missions. So last year, I went out with about 20 veterinary colleagues to climb Mount Kilimanjaro, and we all had to raise money for the climb, which was worth doing. But after that, we spent a week in a small village in Simanjaro, which is at the base of Kilimanjaro, and we lived in tents in a kind of very kind of basic sort of setup, but got to know the local community very well, and we were invited out every day to go and help them dip their cattle, vaccinate them, go and look at how they made leather, look at the ladies making the bead work, and kind of talk to them about this. And I think we learned probably more from that than I can, well, from all the reading you could possibly do sitting here in Britain.
As you're trying to build capacities in basically knowing how to manage livestock, how to manage animals in Africa, are you just targeting bare feet vets, as you call them, or are you actually even going into schools and trying to educate the general public?
Yes, education is very important, and also kind of helping local communities. So we have another project, which I haven't been to, in Tanzania, which is working with people with AIDS, and actually an orphans of people with AIDS. And we have a project in Mozambique, which is helping people who were stood on landmines during the war that took place there 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. And this is about providing them with livestock, getting them started with a small number of chickens and rabbits and occasionally a goat or sheep, and providing them some advice about how to keep those animals to get started. And apparently it's been very successful. I mean, you know, when you're starting from nothing, it's always very exciting.
It's a rapid learning process, I guess, mm-hmm. Yeah. Is Africa the only continent you're focusing the work of vet aid on, or is that also going on in other parts of the world?
We have largely concentrated on Africa, because partly the English-speaking countries are much easier to work within, and obviously our colleagues at VSF are working in other parts of the world. So, for example, Vetamond, I think, is working in South America or Central America. Mm-hmm. So, yes, vet aid has largely been in Africa. But we've had some quite interesting projects. We worked in Afghanistan at one stage, and that was a very challenging time. That was actually when the Russians were occupying Afghanistan, not the Americans. And
times change, occupiers change.
Probably the same problems.
Probably stay the same.
It was a very strange time, because there was actually, we had a big problem with anthrax. Mm-hmm. And it was put down to the fact that the Russians were bombing quite a lot in the valleys. We were working down the south near Kandahar, mm-hmm. And there was a lot of bombing going on down there. And the theory was, at least, that this was disrupting the anthrax spores in the soil, which had laid dormant for a long period of time. And so, you know, you have a bomb drop and kind of turn the soil over, and suddenly you have a little outbreak of anthrax. So we worked there for a while, and we also worked in India for a while as well, but we don't work there any longer.
Mm-hmm. If there was a student who was really interested in getting involved, would you advise them to get a specific type of training or look at specific courses on the vet course at the RVC if they wanted to do this? Or can they just basically get in touch with you, you'll give them some advice, and they probably will be likely to get the opportunity to go to Africa at some point to work on these projects?
Well, I have to make it clear that I don't work for vet aid myself. Mm-hmm. I'm you know, obviously a big supporter of vet aid. And
that's what it would sound like.
I'm a great enthusiast about vet aid, but vet aid has its own office in Edinburgh, mm-hmm. And has a staff that work there, and a board based in Edinburgh as well. And it has offices in Mozambique and in Nairobi as well. So it's got quite a well-established structure. And I think probably the first port of call would be to contact the vet aid office in Edinburgh. And you can find their details from the website, the Vet Aid website. But anybody at the RVC is very welcome to come talk to me about it and see what opportunities exist. As I said a bit earlier on, it's extremely difficult now, I think, to find positions in Africa working as a vet, because there's no need for the kind of colonial kind of approach. And in a way, we're not looking for highly qualified vets to work there. It's much more about the local person who understands the environment and the conditions and the diseases, and is better able to relate to the people. So it's harder to see a role for vets working there in the medium term.
You told us about all these projects you've been involved with at the time. What's the most memorable experience you had in your time in Africa working for Vet Aid?
Gosh, that's a difficult question. I go back really to the beginning, actually, and this is indulgent, so forgive me for this. But I'm sure she won't remember, but we started the organisation very much as a kind of a back bedroom sort of enterprise back in 87, and we decided that our first project would be in Mozambique. And at the time, Mozambique was at war, and there was a terrible war going on there. A lot of people died, and our project was actually in the centre of Mozambique, and to get there was very difficult indeed. I mean, you couldn't drive, or you had to drive in a convoy. And Maputo itself was in quite a bad state. I mean, there was no water in many of the places, and you know, the guerrillas were actually operating right outside the towns and the city, so you had to be very careful. And we didn't really take any account of this. We decided, right, this is a great place for the project, because we knew it was a needy area.
Mm-hmm.
And one way or another, we managed to convince the British government to fund us. And they gave us enough money to buy a Land Rover and send it out and pay for one vet's salary. So we managed to find a young RVC graduate. And as I say, she may not remember, I won't mention her name, but she was a very, very enterprising individual. She was a new graduate. And I met her in Maputo shortly after she had arrived, and the Land Rover had just arrived as well. And really all she had was the Land Rover with some stickers on the side saying Vet Aid and nowhere to stay. And I think this says something about vets, really. You know, the fact that she was very bright, very dedicated, and really, really committed. And she just got it together. She knocked on the door of the British Embassy and said, look, this organisation's dumped me in Maputo and I don't know what to do. And the ambassador took her under a wing. And he was mad. He was really mad with us. He cannot send people to this war-torn country with a Land Rover and expect them to start a project. But I tell you something. Within a year, she'd started this amazing programme working in Inyambani and Vilankulas, which is still running to this day. She set up this project working with people with only one limb, you know, who'd stepped on landmines and looked at supporting the local government structure. There's no vets there, nothing. And I went to visit her there. And it was kind of, it was very scary because there was, you know, just outside the village, there was guys wandering around with machine guns. But she did it. And so for me, it was a real inspiration to see somebody managing it like that and actually putting her heart and soul. And actually, she was so respected. It was so nice to see in a country like that, that, you know, in some ways she gave people a lot of hope, I think.
Yeah, it would sound that as if the work in Africa can be quite rewarding, and it would be a great opportunity for people to try and have an impact, not just on the life of animals, but also on the life of people. So thanks for giving us that great insight into the work of VetAid. I hope we can probably inspire a couple of the people who listen to this to support VetAid in one way or the other. Thanks again for joining us here today, Nick.
Thank you, Mathias, for giving me the opportunity to talk about it too.
That's it from us for today at the RBC Podcast. Thank you again for listening, and please join us again in 2 weeks' time when we will be talking about Blue Tongue, a disease which previously has been restricted to Africa and the Middle East, but now is progressing into Europe and also into the British Isles. In the meantime, if you have any feedback or suggestions, please send them to podcast@rbc.ac.uk. Goodbye.